And let me ask you another question. What do you do when you are faced with a temptation? What do you do when you're faced with an opportunity to disobey? What is your response when the enemy threatens you? Let me back up. Has anybody had a temptation or a challenge in the last 7 days? Okay, just wanted to be sure I was in the right place. Anybody had any battles in the last 7 days? Last 30 days? Last 10 minutes? It's a daily walk, isn't it? It's a daily walk. It's a daily challenge. Do you ever find yourself in a faith crisis? You wouldn't admit it, I know. If you, not on Sunday morning, not in this house. You're not going to admit it, but come on, be honest. How many of you ever found yourself in a faith crisis? Like, God, are you in Africa today? Helping your kids over there? I need you right now. I need you here. Are you not? Where are you? You know, Job said it like this. He said, it seemed that God was hiding from me. Anybody ever felt that way? Seemed like God was hiding from me. And Job said, I went forward and he wasn't there. I went backward where he had been. I went to the left and it seemed like God was hiding from me. But even though I felt that way, he knows, I love this, he knows the way that I take. Let me translate. He knows where I am. Let me translate again. He knows my name. When you feel like he's not within a million miles from you, he knows your name. He's got your number. He cares about you. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows how many you brushed out this morning. He knows the way that I take. And the Bible says, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as pure gold. Not tarnished gold, not 96% pure. Not still a little impurities mixed in. No, no, he said, when he's tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. He knows the way that you take. So when you're faced with challenges, when you're faced with opportunities to sin, to disobey, have to help me. It's not working. Go up one. 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is for everybody. If it's not for you, if it's not for everybody, it's for me. No temptation, regardless of its source, no temptation has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to man, common to human experience. Nor, let me translate that, everybody's facing stuff. You faced it, I faced it, we all face it. No temptation has overtaken us or enticed us. It's not common to human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond, watch this, beyond your human existence. In other words, no matter what comes, you can resist. Quit saying the devil made me do it. Quit blaming somebody else. Really, I could call this message, I could have had a different title. It could have been, you always have a choice. For those of you that say, well, I just didn't have a choice. Liar. You always have a choice. You may not like the choice. You may not like the consequences. You may not like the circumstances. But in every situation, yes, you do have a choice. And sometimes it is a very difficult choice. It's a hard choice. And the consequences are tough. But you always have a choice. So, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. You can put up a resistance. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. He is faithful to His word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. He is faithful, and He will not let you, watch this, He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. How about that? Well, I just couldn't help it. That money was there, and I just had to take it. She was there, and she was so pretty, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but... Mm-hmm. You have a choice. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. Period. You could put a period right there. Quit blaming God. Quit blaming the devil. Quit blaming somebody that didn't do what you thought they ought to do, so you did something you shouldn't have done. Quit blaming everybody. Quit pointing one finger at them when you've got three more pointed back at yourself. You always have a choice. He will not let you be tempted above or beyond your ability to resist, but along with the temptation. Now watch this. When the temptation comes, He knows it comes. And with the temptation, it says, He has in the past and is now and will always provide you the way out as well. So when the temptation comes, it's not beyond your ability to resist. And when it comes, He's going to provide the way out so that you will be able to endure the temptation without yielding and will overcome the temptation with joy. Look at your neighbor and say, hallelujah. I just got my answer. Oh, come on, tell them like you mean it. Hallelujah, I just got my answer. I don't have to yield and give in to temptation ever again. Boy, it got real quiet that time. There wasn't many repeating that. Look at your neighbor and say, hallelujah. I don't have to give in to temptation ever again because His anointing is on me. Look at him, say, no more excuses. Victory in Jesus. Doesn't that feel good? And if not, go on, go to the next one. We must make up our mind before we are standing in the face of temptation. If you're broke and you got $10 million in debt and you walk into the bank and nobody's there and the vault is open and the cameras are broken and there's $12 million in the bank and you're thinking there's a back door, there's an elevator that goes to the basement and it runs to the subway and there's a way out and nobody will ever know. Do I take this $12 million? Nobody will know. Help us, Jesus. Those are the folks that say, if I win the lottery, I'm paying the church off. But they don't pay tithe now. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. We have to make up our mind before we face the challenge or the temptation. Because when you get there, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if your mind's not already made up, in the moment of temptation, it's easy to yield to the flesh, because our flesh is our greatest weakness. Our flesh, our own flesh, is our greatest challenge. Right? I mean, how many times have you gotten a big plate full of food, sit down to eat it, and you couldn't even eat a third of it, and you said, my eyes were bigger than my stomach? Because the flesh is weak. We give in. Sir, if she comes into your office, are there children in here today? And she somehow doesn't keep her covering on. I'll say it nice. And then she entices you . Everybody's listening intently now. And your wife's been gone 12 years, and you're not remarried, and you think, well, just this one time, you give in to your flesh. Oh, somebody said, well, what's wrong with that? Oh, did you not read Exodus 20? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Did you not read that we're not supposed to commit fornication and adultery or lie or steal or covet or bear false witness against our neighbor? Oh, there's a whole list thing. There's about 10 of them. They call them the 10 commandments, in case you didn't know. It's in the Bible. If you don't already have your mind made up, you will yield to the temptation. You will give in to the temptation. The time to make up your mind is now. When you're in the altar, when you're in church, when you're in your Bible study, when you're on your face before God, when you're having your own prayer time and devotion time, you make a commitment. That commitment about her should have been made at the altar when you married your wife. To keep yourself only to her as long as you both shall live. I heard what you said. Well, she'd been gone 12 years, and you've not remarried. And by the way, you marry who you date. You better choose wisely. If you say, well, we're just going to go out this one time. Mm-hmm. You marry who you date. Don't date somebody you wouldn't marry. I don't even have time to preach on that right now. We must make up our mind before we face the temptation. Let's talk about King Nebuchadnezzar today in Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar issued a command to all the kingdom. He issued a command. Bring me that, Hank. He built this image, this big image. It was 10 feet wide, and it was 90, see if it'll sit right here. It was 90 feet tall, roughly. And it was this image that he built. Now, you got to use your imagination, because this is not 10 feet wide and it's not 90 feet tall. But just imagine, the king makes this big image, and then he puts out a decree and he tells everybody, when you hear the music, when you hear the harp, and when you hear the flutes, and when you hear all the music, he said, I want everybody to bow down and worship the image. Now, most of you would say, well, I wouldn't do that. He wants everybody to bow down and worship this image. He wants them to bow down. And notice this, he said, worship the image that I have made. How dumb is that? I mean, how dumb is that? Yet there are some people that worship false gods and idols. And most of you here today, you probably would not come down and bow to that or kiss that. You're saying, well, that's an eagle. It's an image of an eagle. I wouldn't do that. But you got stuff at home that you'll bow down to. You may have drove it here today and ridden in it. You got things that you buy, and they're so precious to you, you almost worship them. Am I hitting anybody? I'm shooting at everybody. I'm trying to hit somebody. I don't know if I hit anybody. So Nebuchadnezzar issues this challenge, and he tells everybody to bow down. And, of course, there were three Hebrew boys that were serving in the kingdom, and they would not bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, one black preacher said, I didn't say Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. That's not what he said. But there were three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the decree went out for everybody to bow and worship this image, they served God. Their mind was already made up. They didn't have to decide when the temptation or the opportunity to disobey was placed before them. They already had their mind made up. They already knew who they worshiped. They already knew who their God was. They already knew how they were going to act before the temptation. You know, before they went to a party just to be kind with a friend, and then they brought out the cocaine and said, won't you try some? It'll make you feel real good. So y'all see how quiet it got? All those that have tried it got real quiet right then. And everybody else got real scared right then. That the prophetic gift's going to flow and somebody's going to get pointed out. I'm going to leave you alone. So they would not bow. And so they sent word to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar got word and said, what? They would not bow to the image that I made, that I told everybody to bow and worship. I'm going to give them one more chance. So in Daniel 3:15, he says, bring them to me. And he says, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I have made. When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse, there's going to be a consequence now. And it's not just the decision to bow down. It's the pressure in front of the king. It is the consequences they will have to pay for their disobedience. It is the peer pressure of all the tens of thousands of people in the kingdom, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that have bowed down because the king said so. The Bible teaches us that Satan, Lucifer, is the prince and the power of the air. God has given him that title or that access for a season. Somebody say, for a season. His time, his days are limited. They're numbered. But he is the prince and the power of the air. So here we find out that all these hundreds of thousands of people in the kingdom bow down because the king said so. Except these three boys. And they said, we're not going to bow. So the king brings them in. I'm going to give you one more chance. He was furious, the Bible said. He was outraged. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance. When you hear the music, you have to bow down. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, I can almost hear Nebuchadnezzar saying it with just such disdain. And then, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? And keep in mind, he had power. He had authority. He was the king. He was over all the kingdom. And so he meant for them to bow. Could I tell you, Satan means for you to bow to the images of this world. He means for you to bow to the temptations that come against you. Everybody has a weakness. They're not always the same. Everybody has weaknesses, and he will do his best to get you to bow to your weakness, to whatever it is that comes against your flesh. Help me. Thank you. But here's what the three Hebrews said. We won't compromise. They didn't make a big deal about it. They didn't yell and scream and get mad. They didn't say, this is not fair. They didn't say, well, that guy over there is not bowing. They didn't do all of that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, we're not going to cast our pearl before swine. That's what the Bible says. Don't cast your pearl before swine. We have no need to answer you in this matter. We're not going to fight with you about this. We're not going to argue with you about this. We're not going to make a big deal. We're just not going to talk to you about this. We're not going to answer that. And then they said, if that is the case, our God, so you have to know who your God is, our God, whom we continually serve, he is able, somebody say he's able, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now that's where most people are in the body of Christ. He is able. He can heal me. I know he can heal me. I know he can save me. I know he can help me sell this property. I know he can save my babies. I know he can help my finances. I know he can help me get me a job. I know he can. And that's where a lot of people stop. And they believe that he can. They just don't believe he will, Pastor Mike. They just don't believe he will for them. Because they prayed before and God didn't come through on their time schedule, so they don't think he can. They know he can. I mean, they know he can. They just don't think he will for them. And these three boys said, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And then they went one step further and said, he will deliver us from your hand. He will. Oh, yes, he will. We need to make up our mind. We need to know without a shadow of a doubt that not only God can, but God will, because he loves you. He died for you. Whatever you're facing, you need to get that bulldog tenacity in your spirit, in your faith, in your spiritual DNA and say, God not only can, but he will. He will. He will. He will save my babies. He will deliver them. He will give me a financial breakthrough. He will heal my body. He will. He will. He will. I'm standing on his word. I know he will. And then they said, but if not, if it's not according to his plan, because he's got a plan. You know God's got a plan, right? And it's not always our plan. He said, but if not, let it be known to you. In other words, O king, God can deliver us. He will deliver us. But if it's not according to his purpose right now, let it be known to you that we do not serve your gods, regardless of the consequences. We do not serve your God, nor will we worship the gold image 10 feet wide and 90 feet tall that you have set up and commanded everybody else to worship. They can worship if they want to. They can bow if they want to. They can compromise if they want to, but not us. We will not bow. We will not compromise. We are ready to face the consequences. We are ready to suffer the consequences. We are ready to face whatever the result of your decision is. But just let it be known to you, we will not bow. We will not give in. We will not disobey God. We will not give in to sin. We know what's right. And we will only worship our God. The enemy becomes enraged when you stand your ground. He throws temper tantrums. He tries something else. He'll throw anything he's got at you when you stand your ground. When you make up your mind and you plant your feet, having done everything you know to do, and you just stand, the enemy doesn't like that. He becomes enraged. He will do anything he can to knock you off your balance, to knock you down, to knock you back, to cause you to quit, to cause you to throw in the towel. You've heard the saying, when it rains, it pours. He will do anything that he can. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury And the expression on his face changed. See, he had been saying, I'll give you one more chance. Because he had lost face. The king had lost face in front of the nation because of these three boys. Just three Hebrew boys that would not bow. But now the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and he commanded now that they heat up the fiery furnace seven times hotter than it had ever been heated before. And then in verse 20, he commanded certain men, mighty men of valor who were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and then cast them into this fiery burning furnace. And the furnace was exceeding hot. The flame of the fire was so hot that it killed the men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them in. Isn't it interesting that the ones that were putting them in were consumed by the fire and died on the spot, yet the men that were thrown into the fire were not touched by the fire? The fire could not burn them. The fire could not hurt them. Next slide, please. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. I love it when God shows up and the enemy is scratching his head. Could I pause right here and tell you that in the body of Christ, we are in a season. We are in a new season where more and more we are going to see the unusual, supernatural, miraculous feats of God that the enemy will not be able to understand, that will blow his mind, and God will be glorified. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Watch this. He says, look, like a little boy. Look. Look, he answered, I see four men, and they're loose. Didn't we bind them? I don't know what they bound them with. I would hope chains, because the ropes would burn up, would they not? So I hope it was chains. He said, look, in astonishment. He was amazed. And I want you to understand that the anointing of the Holy Spirit that operates in you, I've told you, you are greater than you think you are. The power of God that is on you, the power of faith that is in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The anointing, the power, the gifts that you have. Some of you have miraculous gifts you've not even tapped into yet. God wants to flow through your hands. He wants to flow through your faith. He wants to flow through prophetic word. He wants to flow through your wisdom. He wants to flow through your financial gift. He wants to flow through you and use you to change the world in these last days. You are part of the remnant. The king said, look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. You need to shake off the bondage. You need to shake off the chains. You need to realize that what the enemy has tried to do to you is futile, because the anointing is upon you for such a time as this. You need to realize that the attacks, the mind games, the struggles, the doubts, the fear, the financial challenges, the physical challenge, all that is part of his arsenal to stop you, to slow you down, to throw you back, to get you to quit. But you are not a quitter. You are anointed by the Holy Ghost. You are here for such a time as this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you are not hurt. I don't care what the devil tries to do to you. You are not hurt. You can lose your job and think you're going to lose your house, but hold on, you will not be hurt. You'll get another job. You'll get a better job, and you won't lose your house. You get a bad report. Your body is sick, and you think, I can't fight this. I can't go through, but I need to tell you, you are not hurt. The Holy Ghost is upon you. Healing is in your body. You'll fight and you will win. I don't know what you're dealing with, but you are not hurt. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not hurt. Come on, tell them like you mean it. You are not hurt. They were not hurt. The form of the fourth, he said, is like the Son of God. Could I tell you that everywhere you go, You may think you are by yourself, but the Son of God is with you. You may think you're all by your lonesome. You may think nobody cares, nobody understands. You're carrying this load by yourself, but you're not hurt. And you're not by yourself. The Son of God is with you. The Son of the living God is with you. Wherever you go, whatever you face, He is with you. Verse 27. And these, they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Did you ever read in the Bible where it said, "Do not be afraid"? Or fear not. Did you know that 365 times in the Bible it says don't be afraid or fear not? One for every day. One for every day. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said one for every day. I want to go a step further. Did you ever read in Revelation 21:8 where it says, and the abominable and the whoremongers and the liar, and the adulterers, a whole list of blue ribbon sinners. But it starts off and says, and the fearful, then it says the unbelieving. He puts scared folks in the same category with the folks that don't even believe. He says the fearful, those who are afraid, the unbelievers. You know, unbelievers aren't going to make it. And then he says, adulterers and whoremongers. A whole list. And then he said, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But he starts off and he puts fearful people, afraid people, in the category with all these blue ribbon sinners. You need to shake off the fear. You need to quit being afraid. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Quit being afraid. You don't have to be afraid. The Bible says God did not give us a spirit of what? Fear. That doesn't come from God. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The enemy has no power over you. He has been disarmed. Principalities and powers, the Bible says he has disarmed them. If they've been disarmed, all they have to use against you is a mind game. All they can use against you is cause you to be afraid in your mind, and you begin to conjure up in your thoughts what's going to happen and what the enemy can do. But the Bible says the fire had no power over them. If the fire had no power over them, but it burned up the men that put them in, why do you think the enemy has power over you? Why do you think the enemy can drive you back and stop you and hinder you and keep you from fulfilling your destiny? He has no power over you. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Next slide, please. The enemy's assignment's going to change when you take a stand. Daniel 3, 29 and 30. Therefore, I make a decree. This is King Nebuchadnezzar now. He's changed his assignment. He's changed his mind. He's the same one that says, if you don't bow, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. I'm going to heat it hot, seven times hotter than it's ever been. You're going to die, boy. You're going to pay the price. You hear me? And now he says, look, thought we put in three, there's four. Everything changed. Did you hear me? Everything changed. When you take a stand, when you do not bow, when you say, I'm going to serve my God, He's going to deliver me. I know that He can, I know that He will, but if not, I'm going to serve Him anyway. I will not serve your gods. Everything changed. And the king said, therefore, I make it a decree that any people, any nation, any language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made in ashes. We're going to burn their house because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Oh, you didn't hear me. The king, the naysayer, the hater, the one that had put them in the fire, the one that had built the image 10 feet wide and 90 feet tall, and says, if you don't bow, I'm going to put you in the fire. That same guy said, now, you better not speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because there is no other God like him. There is no other God that can deliver like this. Then, watch this, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He promoted them. He wanted to kill them, but now he's promoting them. Could I tell you, the devil wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to burn you up. He wants to steal and take everything from you, your health, your finances, your kids. He wants to take it all. But when you take a stand, he has no choice but to promote you. He has no choice but to say, look, 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 look. You better not speak against their God. My God. Can I give you another scripture? You say, Pastor, how do I do that? How do I make up my mind? How do I stand? How do I not give in? It's very simple. It's right here. He tells you how. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. He presupposes that evil is coming. I mean, by this verse, he's presupposing, he's letting you know evil is going to come. Challenges are going to come. Temptations are going to come. Problems are going to come. Troubles going to come. Doubts going to come. Physical attack, financial attack, emotional attack, relational attack, family attack. It's going to happen. He said, put on the whole armor of God so that you can resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Verse 14 says, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Say that with me. Make a declaration. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Change it and say, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand my ground. Say it. I'm going to stand my ground. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stand my ground. Say, I will not bow. Say it, I will not bow. I will not compromise. I will not give in. I will not quit. I will not go back. In the name of Jesus, I will not bow. Then he said, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Hold up the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? This is it. Hide it in your heart so that you won't sin against him. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Then he said, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent. Stay alert. How do you stay alert? Well, in 1 Peter 3, he said, be sober, be vigilant, be sober. So you certainly can't be intoxicated and stay alert. You can't be intoxicated by her perfume unless you're married to her. You can't be intoxicated by a bunch of money, because we know the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money was evil. It's a tool. And when you pay your tithe, the word tithe means that which is given to God for destruction. So he destroys the spirit of the world that's on it, sanctifies it, and then he multiplies and blesses it so that the 90% you have left goes further than the 100% that was cursed. Stay alert. Don't be intoxicated by the report that says you're sick and you're going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. God decides when you die. Don't let somebody put a declaration on you. Refuse it. Rebuke it. And when you hear it, it's only to know how to pray. Don't put it on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and social media and all X, all these places, and say, y'all pray for me. Because 99% of them are not going to pray for you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to put it in the atmosphere. And do you see that? So-and-so's got cancer. They're going to die. They've got leukemia. They're going to die. They had a heart attack. They're going to die. And they're making declaration about you. Job 22, declare a thing that it might be established. So when you put it out there and people that are not really going to pray start talking, they're making declarations, putting it in the atmosphere against you. You need to cancel those words in the spirit realm. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting today. Cancel those words. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you hear. Say it, Marilyn, what you say. Be careful what you say. Your words carry weight, and your life follows your words. Pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion, and stay alert and be persistent. Christians are inconsistent. They're up one day, down the next. They're up on Sunday and they're down Monday through Saturday. Be consistent. Be persistent. Keep knocking on that door. The Bible says, knock and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. To everyone that asks receives. To he that seeks finds. Amen. Put your hand on your heart. We've got some folks that are going to be baptized today. So I got to quit. They're getting ready. Some folks have made a commitment to the Lord. Some in rededication, some for the first time. And we're going to baptize them. But right now, I want you to get it in your spirit who you are. Because see, some of you, you don't recognize who you are. You don't know who you are. You don't know what's in you. You don't know the gifts that are in you, that are on you. You don't know the anointing that is on you. You've second-guessed your gifts and your anointing. You've let insecurity creep in. Boldness has vanished. And this message today is to let you know, first of all, who God is, but who you are in Him. And if you make up your mind and don't bow, because you always have a choice. See, when you begin to read this story, it looks like it's bad. Everybody sees them. The king calls them in, gives them another chance, and then they still wouldn't bow. Somebody would say, oh, what a fool. They're going to burn. They're going to die. They wouldn't bow. And look what happened. God turned everything around. God's looking for some folks that'll stand up, that'll be bold. He's looking for some folks that will not bow to show His glory, to show His anointing. So you have to make up your mind now how you're going to respond when the challenge comes. And I need to tell you again, you are greater than you think you are. You're not here by accident. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He is ordering your steps, and He is anointing people as remnant people, as warriors in these last days that will just say, I'm not going to bow. So with your hand on your heart, pray this prayer. Just say, Father God, thank you for this word that gives me revelation insight as to who you are and as to who I am in you. When your spirit touches me, your anointing begins to manifest. And great things are going to happen. Thank you for the boldness. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for a spiritual backbone to stand. Thank you for stamina. Thank you for persistence. Thank you for anointing me to be alert, to be sober, to be aware, to have spiritual sensitivity. Thank you for discernment in these last days. Anoint me to discern the situation as I face them. Anoint me to discern people in my life. Anoint me to flow in the gifts. Let your anointing flow through me. Let the gifts operate in me. Let miracles take place through me and in my life. Use me to make a difference. Use me to help somebody. Use me to change lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. I open my spirit to you, Jesus, and I trust you, Jesus, as the Lord of my life. Baptize me fresh. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Anoint me in the name of Jesus. Touch my family, my friends, my work, my business. Let me walk in healing. Anoint me to walk in my healing. I rebuke sickness and disease off of my life now. In the name of Jesus, I declare supernatural favor in my life. I am the favored of God. I am a child of God. Your favor, Lord, is a blessing to me. I receive your favor in the name of Jesus. I thank you for good health. And I thank you for favor. And I declare increase in my hands. I am a tither. I am a giver. And I believe your word. And I thank you in advance for increase, for overflow, for resources in my hand, that all of my needs are met according to your riches in glory. And that not only am I blessed, not only are my needs met, but I am anointed to advance the kingdom. Resources are coming into my hand to make a difference in the kingdom. I will be used by the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I give you the praise. I give you the thanks. I worship and adore you. You are holy. You are king. You are sovereign. You are judge. You are ruler. I worship you. I adore you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now just lift your hand to him and thank him. Tell him how much you love him. Receive his touch. Receive his love right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.